the month of January is anyway the month for stories of the Yajna. And thinking about how many stories all of you would have heard of Brahma Baba with Dadi and all the personal experiences, I think practically every class that Dadi conducted would have some story about her experience with Baba. But there's one story that I realized that some people are aware of, but not everyone. And so it's a bit of a long story, but we've got time tonight, so I'll take it up. And you know the story that Baba and Mama would sit both in front of the trance messenger, and the trance messenger was the one in whom Baba would come. And when Baba would come in that trance messenger, they called Baba Piyu, the beloved one. And at that time, it would have been just a few years into the Yajna, maybe the early 40s. We don't have specific dates, but it would have been around then. And this trance messenger, when she first brought this message that Baba was going to come to meet everybody, and everybody should gather together for meditation at such and such a time, Baba was so excited, so happy. He had a new set of clothes prepared for her. Thank you. And when he used to have a guru visit him in his home, Baba used to make so many preparations with a lot of love. And so now it was God coming to meet everyone. So Baba was really very happy and excited. And so the new clothes, many varieties of food were prepared. All the best fruits were arranged. So it was very lavish in a spiritual way. And Mama and Baba are sitting there. And they weren't given that title of Mama and Baba. They didn't know the difference between Shiv Baba and Brahma Baba. It happened gradually, very, very gradually. But they knew that Baba was coming, and this Baba that they knew was sitting there in front. And Baba came, and it was through that trance messenger that Baba announced that this one is Prajapita Brahma, and this one is Mateshwari Mama. And the message was given, the meeting was of love, and Piyu shared beautiful things, and it ended. And this happened regularly for a little while. And whenever it was time for Piyu to come, there used to be special bhog cooked, varieties and so on, and this would be the offering, the bhog in front of Baba. And gradually, this particular individual began to feel that why wasn't she included in the discussions and the decisions about the running of the Yajna? And there were others who were very much more senior than her. She was only about 15. And even those in their 20s were the ones who'd come earlier than her to Baba. And so there was no good reason why she should be included in the decisions. But her heart was, well, I should be. And she gathered a small group around her. And Baba called them the Soneri Toli, the golden group. A very royal name for people who were critical and gossiping. And but Baba's language, you heard in today's of Yad Murali, the language of someone who's elevated is always going to be extremely royal. And so Baba gave them this name, Soneri Toli. Toli is not just a toli you eat, but the group. And it really escalated within that group. And so it was a loud voice that was saying this. And of course it reached Baba, and they said to Baba, "Aren't you going to do something about it?" And Baba just smiled and said, "Let them do what they want to do." But Baba wasn't going to be shaken by emotional blackmail into including her in the group. It wasn't useful. And when we'd gone to Karachi with Daddy, and Daddy was in Karachi exactly 60 years, certainly almost to the month and the day, because 5550, I remember that because it's an easy number to remember. And we'd gone, I'd gone earlier in December, I remember the date, December in 2009. And Daddy had sent me specially to see how things were going. A little centre had been established about a month earlier, and Daddy was very excited about service in Karachi. And then April 2010, we were there after the Madhuban season with the teachers. So Daddy, Hansa and myself, we all came from India to Karachi. And when we took Daddy to see Kunj Bhavan, the place where they had stayed, it's now a boys' school, Bayside School, something like that. A very elegant building, big building. You must have seen photographs of it. They've been widely circulated over the last several years. We had a little bit of time before we could go in because the boys were still inside, and the headmaster, his mistress, had said that we should wait half an hour before we come in. Then it'll be quieter, which was fine. So, very big garden. And Daddy showed us this is where we used to wash the dishes, the big, big pots. Then around the back, this is where we used to walk, and we would churn gyan together. And when Baba would see us churning gyan, Baba would be so happy, so happy. And then we came round the third side. So the building's here, and one, two, three. And so the third side had a wall. And Nadi's standing looking at this wall. And to me, it's just an ugly wall because it was just bricks. And I didn't notice anything else. And so what was fascinating to Daddy? And then we asked Daddy, "Daddy, what's so special about this wall? There must be a story with it." And she says, "Yes." And then she says, "Do you see this color brick? And about 4 feet high was one colored brick. And then beyond that was another bit of the wall, a different color brick, and that was about 2 feet. And so it was a 6 foot high wall." And Daddy said, "Baba had, when we got the building, it was just that 4 feet. And then Baba had 2 feet more constructed." And at that time, Baba said, "When the girls are going to be walking around here, the eyes of the world shouldn't see them." And so they'd understood that. That was fine. But now what was fascinating for Daddy was, these girls, how did they manage to climb a 6 foot high wall and run away in the middle of the night? Because finally that's what happened. This girl plus five others, which included the sister of Daddy Janki, who had actually given her gyan. So all of them went up the wall somehow and left. And then, of course, nobody has met them. Many of the yagya who had left came back, or at least kept in contact in some form or another later on also. But these particular five, they never kept any contact. And because Daddy's nephew in Chile had come into gyan when we'd gone there, when Daddy had connected with him in Chile, I don't remember the year, but it would have been in the 2000-something, she said to him, "Are you in touch with your mother?" And he said, "Yes." And she said to him, will you tell her that I'm remembering her? And he just smiled. And probably he knew that the mother wouldn't want to know that Daddy was remembering her. But anyway, so that was what Daddy was struck by. And so this group left. And because PU wasn't coming anymore, then there was no more pork being specially cooked. We're God's children, it's Baba's Bhandara, the money had come from Baba, Baba was feeding them literally, and so everything was clean and pure, it was fine. And then when it was time to leave Karachi, Baba's signal, many of the families had been inviting them to come back, but at this point, the message from Baba, Shiv Baba, was, yes, it's time to go. And it was just in time, of course, because soon afterwards, a military dictatorship started in Pakistan. It would have been very difficult to leave if that was happening. So just prior to that, Shiv Baba's signal, it's time to go. And Dada Vishwakishore was the one who was able to organize the whole ship and all their belongings. You know, there was a table outside of Madhuban in the backside where the garden is, and it was a big white marble table. They had brought that from Karachi with them on the ship. Can you imagine? Marble is heavy, and this was not as big as a carpet, but maybe about three quarters of the size of this carpet. And big, thick wooden legs, but they brought it from Karachi, so the whole ship was hired. And that marble table was used for decades, I think, as a place where we used to iron our clothes. And the iron was this big, and you had to put in coal, and even to lift the iron empty without the coal was a story. And when it was filled with coal, it was, you had to use both hands even just to pull it along. So different mementos, not so many, but a few mementos of Karachi were around. And so they were supposed to be sponsored by one of the families who very specially was saying to them, come, 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 it's too dangerous to stay in Pakistan, you have to come to India, and you belong here, all these things. And they'd said that they would sponsor the whole ship and the train and the whole journey. And so it happened. And of course, when it came to the rubber hitting the road, it didn't happen. They didn't turn up with the finance. Now, was it premeditated that they thought that Baba's wealth would run out? And what would happen to the Brahmakumaris? Everybody would scatter, they'd go back to their Lokik homes. Maybe that was their intention all along, who knows. But Baba's not going to go to them and ask them, and Baba's not going to tell them, well, what happened? They didn't. It's okay, it's drama. Baba was an emperor, a royal emperor. So no asking questions like that. And so the yajna, as you know, the story in the scriptures is that Draupadi's pot became empty. She was the one who was feeding the pandavas, and the pot ran dry. And so this was a time when the pot was empty. And you've heard those stories about 9 o'clock, the bhandari comes to ask Baba, what should we cook? There's nothing in the bottom, in the pot. And Baba says, come back later. And she comes back later, and by then there's the first money draft that's come, and it's enough to go buy rice and dal, and so it's purchased, the food gets cooked, and they're able to eat. And so it was really living on the edge at that time. But also the practice that they'd had in the days of Karachi, when Baba had told them, a time will come when you won't get the things you want to get, and so are you going to eat millet chapati and buttermilk? That's it. And it's the food of the poorest of the poor in India. Millet was much cheaper than wheat, even today. No, maybe now it's become fashionable to have millet, so maybe it's changed. But until recently, millet was much cheaper than wheat. Wheat was an imported thing that started later, but millet was the natural crop there. And so for 2 weeks, they had nothing but millet and buttermilk. And some of them were patients, and so they said to Baba, we don't think we'll be able to manage. Baba said, fine. If you can't manage, there'll be a cook in a special place where in the kitchen where the food is being cooked for patients, and you can give your name, and there'll definitely be food that is easier for you to digest. But most of them, even the patients, decided it's Baba Srimat, if you're going to follow, and nobody got sick. So Baba had been preparing them for something like this, and of course all the dadis are now gone, but so it's preparation for us. How would I manage if that was what I needed to do? And COVID time was great because it was preparation where you had just potatoes and pumpkins and rice and dal. There were no vegetables available. So for not just a week or two, it was a month or two that they would find different ways to cook the pumpkins and potatoes, but that's what it was. But anyway, so Baba was wondering, why is it that God's children don't have proper food? Baba really went into deep introversion, reflecting on this question. And the answer came, bhog wasn't being offered to Baba. When it was piyu coming, bhog was being specially cooked and offered, and then it was the intoxication. We are with God, we are with Baba, we don't need any ritual or ceremony in that way. But it came to Baba that that's why the pot was empty. And so then Baba initiated the system of whatever was cooked, bhog was to be offered. And then that was also about the time when Baba started sending them out on service. And again, the question came, Baba, so far we know that your wealth is clean, it's pure, and you've been feeding us, but when we are out there and people give us donation, we don't know how clean it is, how pure it is. Maybe it's not. And so if we were to eat that food, how is it going to affect our meditation? What's going to happen to our yoga? This was the question from those who were going to go out on service. And Baba said to them, there's an invisible machinery at work. Whatever comes from a pure source will go to Baba, but you have to offer bhog to Baba. And even if it's not from a pure source, because you have offered it to Baba, it will be cleansed and purified. But also, further on the line, Baba said, the money that's coming from other sources, maybe from non-Brahmins, it's going to be used for all the other things that need to happen in the yajna. There's water, there's electricity, there's all sorts of things that need finance. And so other money is going to be used through that invisible machinery of karma in all the other things. But the food that you eat will always be pure food because it would have been offered to Baba. And so especially in the early days when I'd travel to other countries and I'd live in people's homes, usually people who'd invited us, they weren't Brahmins. But it was very interesting because from Dadi, of course, we'd learned that wherever you go, you do the cooking and you feed your hosts. And we'd make sure that the people who were inviting us knew that we'd be cooking. And certainly in Guyana, cooking for them, they were totally shocked because they were used to cooking for the guru. The guru never cooked for them. And here was Lata and myself cooking, and they'd given us a separate little kitchen, Auntie Betty's sister's home, so we were there. But in the afternoon, the mother and the daughter were there. The daughter was with us most of the time anyway, and she's still very much in Gyan. She's remained a Kumari her whole life. So, and the mother being there, so we'd say, come, there's enough for both of you, join us. And so they'd laugh and say, this is really a turnaround for us. And they'd had many gurus stay in their home. And so, but when I explained to them it's the offering to God, and that's the only way that we have food, which is why we don't eat food outside, they could understand that and accept it. And it was a very nice feeling that it's not these people, because we didn't go shopping. They would go to the market and bring the veggies and fruits. So it was a good feeling that because they know it's going to be offered to Baba and we're eating from Baba's bhog, that it's Baba who's feeding us and not these people who are feeding us. And so no personal karma in that way. So the whole thing about bhog is amazing. So when people say, we are living at home, can we say we are surrendered? And right from the very beginning, Daddy taught everybody, in your home, have a room for Baba, if not a room for Baba, a corner for Baba, and there you offer, you cook in Baba's remembrance and offer Leicester Center. Daddy would always say that early days, Babu Bhai was working, his wife Jesuben was working, and the two kids, Deepika and Bhupin, were very young at school, and the mother was also staying with them. And Jesuben, the mother, would come home. They had their own factory in Uganda. They had to just leave everything, everything, and come as refugees. The Uganda story, and many of you were involved in that Uganda story coming from Africa. And Jesuben would have to work, because first they were in a refugee place, then they left that place, got their own little place. Babu Bhai was working, Jesuben was working in a factory. Now here you are, you own a factory. And here you are, drama, a year later, you're working in a factory. And of course she'd never worked before, but now she was. Babu Bhai, yes, he was working his life before. But anyway, so Jesuben would come home, would take a shower, and then start cooking the food. And when Daddy was there, then she saw that the family was coming together to offer bhog. Daddy Ratan Mohini and Dr. Nirmala had started the Leicester Center, and that's when the family had come into Gyan. So Deepika was about 11 years old, something like that. This would have been in 74. And Daddy said, Deepika, do you love Baba? Yes. Do you meditate in the evening every day with your mum? Yes. Okay. So when you come home from school, you shower, and then Mum will cook, and you will sit and offer bhog, and meanwhile Mum can prepare other things. And so she started offering bhog to Baba every evening, and of course she became a Brahma Kumari, the teacher in Leicester, and today she's there at the center, in between many other things, of course. But the whole thing about offering bhog, it's really that acknowledgement that even if I've been working and earning the money, but it's Baba's yagya, I've given it to Baba, and Baba won't take it and say, yes, give it all to me. Baba will say, no, whatever you need, look after your family. But yes, the whole system of offering bhog is one in which you can experience that surrender for Baba. So bhog is a very, very important part of Brahmin life, and that he really instilled it in everybody. So when Didi and Daddy Kumarka came to London at different times, but they said that when we go to one of the families, you know, like Vishnubhai, where Hansaben took gyan in Hounslow, they would have class in their home. There were other places, Ilford again, it was a family home, but class there. Leicester, a family home and a class there. And a comment from Didi and Daddy was, when we're in their home, we don't feel it's a Lokic home. We feel it's a center. And it was incredible because many people at that time were saying to Daddy, not so much in London, but from other places, Daddy, we should really have a system of calling teachers from India and having them be established here. And Daddy would smile. And then when they'd get into engage with her, she'd say, local people know the local culture. And even in India, for Gujarat, Baba had Sarla Didi with me to learn and be trained. But Baba always had in mind that he was going to send her to Gujarat. And so the Gujaratis look after the Gujaratis, the Punjabis look after the Punjabis. Why? Because they know the language, they know the culture, they know the food. Even the food between Punjab and Gujarat is vastly different. And so, yes, it's Indian, it's one canopy, but it's different. And so here again, that was Sakar Baba's training for Daddy. Train local people. Okay, very short traffic control. So Daddy had that vision that rather than open centres, and at that time we wouldn't have been able to open centres, but here's a home, they're offering their home for Baba's service, their home is purified, they follow a pure lifestyle, and so that's going to be the way to expand service in the UK. And it's a plan that worked beautifully. And of course, at the right time, when there's a number of people who are ready to support and help, then you have a centre. And so many, many places where it's been like that. The other story that has many, many lessons for me, Baba had been to Pune when it was really tiny. But for Baba, they'd taken another place where Baba had come to stay. And then many people, of course, Sindhi community were there, so they all knew Baba. They were very curious. How have they all survived this period of partition and settled and expanding? They were just watching and were very surprised. And they were curious about Baba. They were curious about the Brahma Kumaris. So there'd be a lot of people who would come every evening to the satsang. The morning, it would be the Brahmins. In the evenings, Baba would have, literally, it was like a satsang. It wasn't a class as such, but whoever wanted to come, you didn't have to take the course, you didn't have to do this or that. Just come. It was like a public event. And Baba had seen how the Brahmins had been sustained so beautifully. And so from time to time, whenever Baba was in Bombay especially, and people would come from here and there across India to be with Baba in Bombay, Baba would say to them, go to Pune, and Daddy Janki will sustain you. And early days when Daddy was here, you would know how morning class would be long. It didn't finish at 8 o'clock. It finished 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock sometimes. And even on a Sunday, it was very unpredictable. Even here in Global House, so that was in the 90s. So Sunday class, you never knew what time it was going to finish. Maybe 10 o'clock, maybe 10:30. Daddy is a fountain. And so she was sharing. And then through the day, somebody would come for 5 minutes. And it was never 5 minutes. It was definitely half an hour. Daddy's stories, an hour. Daddy just loved sharing. And there was no clock for her. It didn't exist. Time didn't exist. So especially in the very early days, Daddy had lots of time. and there wasn't so much administration work to do. So we would all sit and listen. We didn't have to run off to the office to do this, that and the other. So it was really constantly a grandmother sharing stories non-stop. So this was another story that Daddy had shared. Baba was coming for the second time to Pune, and Daddy was looking for a place, looking for a place, and whoever she went to, they weren't able to do it for one reason or another reason. There was nothing very suitable, and the place which was a center was tiny, wasn't going to be possible for Baba to be there. So finally she found this villa, and it was owned by one of the mill owners who lived in Bombay. And Daddy connected with him. There was a woman in the class in Pune who was able to know him and connect with the person directly, the mill owner. And so the woman explained, Brahma Baba is coming, and so on and so on. And so the man says that, well, my villa is empty, I just come. Pune is a used to be, now not anymore, but it used to be a recreation place because the temperature was much cooler than Bombay. Bombay always very hot. And so a lot of people living in Pune, in Bombay, but having their summer homes, their holiday homes in Pune. So this was a villa by the river in that way. And so the man said, yes, that's fine. This is the telephone number of the gardener, who's the caretaker there. Go along and see him, and I'll also phone him. And so they go along to see the gardener, and meanwhile the person has phoned them that, yes, these people are going to be coming on such and such a day. And they tell him the date that they need the place by, so that he can clean up the building, he can clean up the garden. And they send somebody every day to make sure that it is cleaned. Every day the person comes back, nothing's clean, nothing's clean. And this goes on for several days. And they don't want to bother the owner with this thing. So Daddy then says, okay, let me go and meet him and talk to him. And he says, yes, Daddy, I have a lot of respect for you. Yes, I have understood Brahma Baba is a very, very elevated personality. So all the words are right. But when are you going to get this place cleaned? Well, Daddy, things don't happen just like that, do they? It all requires something, doesn't it? And he was asking for money. And Daddy at that time thought, well, okay, 200 rupees. At that time, 200 rupees was a lot, but it's okay. If we have to do this, let me do this, let me give that money so that at least things are ready for Baba to come and everything is proper. And so, yes, that's what he was waiting for. He gets the money, and the place is clean, the vegetables, the fruits, everything's been purchased. Baba's going to arrive in the afternoon. And he was supposed to arrive 12 o'clock. Nothing happens. Daddy waits an hour. Coming by road. I can't remember actually coming by road or train. But sometimes Baba used to come by road, even in those days. But Baba's not arriving. And Daddy's trying to phone Bombay. Phones were not so easy. This was in the 60s. Phones were not so easy, even locally in India itself. She's not getting through somehow. And then the time for Baba to have come is long gone, and there's going to be a program in the evening. And so Daddy's really desperate now. And so she says, well, I'd better go to Bombay and find out what's happening. She heads off to Bombay and tells the sisters there, well, today we're not having a program anyway, so let people know. And yes, if they want to come and do some meditation, fine, but there's no program. And she heads off to Bombay, And she says, and Baba's there. Baba looks well. She thought maybe Baba was sick. Baba looks well. The other sisters are around with Baba. Baba, what happened? We're waiting for you. Everything's ready for you. The people were supposed to be coming. And Baba's calm and peaceful, and he nods his head. And Baba simply says, Baba gave a signal not to go. And Dadi accepts that. Then she phones Pruni and says, no, Baba's not going to come. Okay. But at some point later on, Baba says, was there something that shouldn't have happened that happened? And Dadi remembers the 200 rupees that she had given, that money. And if you step back, and on one level the man's asking for the work, but he's getting paid. So he's not asking for the work. It's actually bribery and corruption. And so Baba's not going to come to a place where anything underhand is involved. And so when Dadi shared this story, we could feel how she must have felt. I mean, when you've done a program for Dadi and Dadi hasn't turned up, well, this was Baba. And Baba didn't turn up. But it gives you a very, very clear idea of spiritual principles and the rebound of principles if we are not following principles. So these two stories came to my mind that I know I wouldn't be, well, now with webcasts, you don't know how many people are listening anyway, but these are not stories I've usually shared in big classes, but rather in small groups sometimes. And of course, some of you would have heard them from Dadi directly, because she would share them even in class. So, any other thing that people really are keen and want to know about? The stories of the early days really used to bring tears to my eyes when I used to hear them. The story of Delhi. Who hasn't heard stories of Delhi in the early days? Okay. So Baba sent many, many of the sisters, Bombay, Delhi, and you hear even in the Sakar Muralis now, and even the Avyakt Muralis, Baba's focused very much on Delhi and the service there in terms of serving the government and so on. But Bombay also was right from the beginning quite a powerful place, and of course is the commercial capital of India now, very definitely, for many years. And Baba would send sisters to Delhi, Bombay, Calcutta, different places. And in Delhi, it was a few of them living together in a very small place. And it was Didi, it was Manohar Dadi, and it was Dadi Janki. And it's very interesting because one of the things that Dadi used to share about that is how the students would come, new students, and Didi would ask one of them, Manohar Dadi or Dadi Janki, to speak Gyan to them and give them, they didn't have a formal course, but just to introduce them to Gyan. And Manohar Dadi used to say, Gyan is the most important. And Dadi Janki used to say, Yoga is the most important. And later on, why I'm mentioning this is because later on, it had switched. Because Dadi would emphasize Gyan, and Manohar Dadi would emphasize Yoga. So, but in that early time, it was the other way. So I found that interesting in Dadi's story. but they were living on chapatis and salt. Didn't have money for anything else. And she said how they weren't missing vegetables or dal or anything so much, or even rice or anything. Chapati was fine, dry chapati was fine. But what they were missing was their tea. And tea, of course, meant milk. And so they didn't have money to buy vegetables, never mind vegetables. They didn't have money to buy milk. And so that was their missing thing. And then a woman started to come, and she looked around and she saw they had nothing. And so she would bring, you get these lotas, these pots, and it can be silver, it can be copper, it can be, the pottery, something, whatever it is, with this little matka. And she would bring this matka of milk every single day. But they'd got used to having just a tiny little bit of milk in their tea. And so the matka was a lot. And so they then had the thought, should we tell her that rather than this big matka of milk, can we please have some vegetables? They hadn't had vegetables for a long time. And guess what? The woman stopped bringing anything. And so Daddy would say, whatever God provides, I accept it. Don't say, I don't want this. It's come. I accept it gracefully. And don't say, I want, because it might not happen. But another story about those early days again about food. So this businessman was coming. And after a couple of days, he said, can I see your kitchen? And what did the kitchen have? It had a little stove. You put in kerosene in it and you pump it up. So it had a little stove. And it had very few utensils. And certainly it didn't have very much food. And so he just looked around and he didn't say anything. Next day, he sends across a sack of flour and something else, salt or something. But anyway, and the sisters look at each other and they're thinking, well, we're managing somehow, but Abu, there are no students coming there, and so how are they managing? And so the sack of flour just has a sticker put on it with Brahma Baba, Mount Abu Rajasthan. And they manage to get it to the train station and they tell the person who's the guard, can you deliver this to Abu Road? And so when the train stops at Abu Road, they've sent a message. Somebody comes and picks it up from the train station. And the man comes next day and he asks to see the kitchen again. And he says, did you not get the delivery? And they say, yes, but our Baba doesn't have anything in Abu, so we sent it there. So next day, of course, the man sends another sack. But can you imagine, it wasn't a few days, it wasn't a few weeks, it was months. And yet, of course, they passed through all of that. And they survived, not only survived and thrived, and just see what Baba gave Daddy. So, especially when I see Oxford, I think, how did it happen? God's grace, God's blessings. And everybody's support and love and cooperation. But their renunciation and their tapasya of those early days. Daddy's tapasya in Tennyson Road a little fire, gas fire, but you had to put shillings, coins in the meter. And sometimes I'd forget to keep a stock of shillings there. And so early morning, there's no heat and it's cold and it's damp. And Daddy had a bad chest. Daddy's had a bad chest forever because as a child she had TB, she had pneumonia, she had all of that. And so here she is sleeping in a room that's got damp and no heat. But Baba looked after her. So just love for Baba, love for service, and everything happens.
Yeah, Jindivan, just with this, I want to remind you, how did your trance part begin? And what was where was it that it started?
It started in Pune when I was 8 years old. And I used to go to children's class. And then at some point, I started seeing pretty pictures. And I tell my mother about it, and it was scenes of Satyug. Today I would say it was scenes of Satyug. And it would just happen from time to time. Then when we came to London, Rajni Ben had seen how in those days it wasn't so much offering bhog every day, but what she'd seen had been that they would offer bhog on Mondays and Thursdays in Pune. So she carried on with that system. So she'd make sure there were fruits, and my father would bring the fruits every weekend and then also for Wednesdays. And then she would wake me up early and make sure that I was showered and everything and say, okay, come now, sit in meditation and offer to Baba. And I'd sit there and, you know, as a child, 8 years, 9 years, 10 years, it carried on for till I was about 10, I think, for a couple of years. And then it stopped because I stopped meditating anyway. But when I'd sit, it was like Baba pulled me in another dimension. And there'd be some image I'd see, and there'd be a little story with it that would come to my mind. And I'd come back and I'd say to her, well, this is what I saw, and this was a story that came to mind. And then, because I wasn't meditating anyway, so it stopped. And then when we met Mama, this was by then, I was 14, and we were in Bombay, 1964. And Mama had agreed to meet us, even though she was very sick. And so we are there in front of Mama, and Mama had met me as a very little child, so Mama had said yes. So we were there, and my mother tells Mama, tell Janthi to meditate. And Mama says, why? And Rajni Ben says, because when she meditated, then she would bring me back a message from Baba in trance. And first Mama looks and looks and then says, leave her alone, she'll meditate when she's ready. And then hearing that reply, then Rajni Ben says, but Mama, I don't get the help I used to get from Baba. And Mama tells her, when you were a little girl, Baba needed to hold your hand and guide you. Now you're a big girl, you don't need that anymore. So it stopped.
You would bring the bhog message in London, also in Dudden Hill.
So between that time, 11 and 19, 20, something like that, there was no trance. And then Daddy would insist I sit to offer bhog. And so for years I did that and nothing happened. And then after some time, then Baba would pull me, and again it would be a very simple scene and a little message. And then a message came from Madhuban. that we shouldn't be bringing back trance messages. In the Sarkar Muralis that you hear this month, there was one particular passage in which Baba's categorically stating the trance messenger sitting here, she's going into trance, she's going to meet Baba and offer bhog, but I'm telling her, don't stay too long. Don't come back very quickly. It came in one of the messages, right? So this was Baba's point by then. But anyway, so the trance thing continued, but then there were so many people bringing back so many questionable messages that then a message came from Madhuban, and I imagine it would have been checked with Baba, with one of the messengers. Baba had a few messengers who were specifically messengers that would go to Baba and bring back and verify whatever it is Baba wanted to verify. And so I imagine that in the 80s, when it stopped, it was through a trans messenger, I don't know who. But the message came from Madhuban that bhog has to be offered only in meditation. I said, ah, thank goodness. And so I was very happy to get that message and stop.
So, you know, every Thursday I looked forward to hearing that message. It was always very interesting, very inspiring. Many of our brothers and sisters actually looked forward. Anyway, how many of you were around and have heard the message by Jinti Ben? Can you raise your big hand? Yes. Small. Daksha Ben, high up. Yeah. Not many. Oh.
Lost in history.
Wow, Marian, was it Marian? But Marian, you were not around.
Lost in history.
So thank you so much, Jinti Ben, for sharing so beautifully those lovely days, and you really took us all, transported us to Karachi, to Madhuban, to Delhi, to Mumbai, to Pune, right? We've all been on a tour, and Jinti Ben is now going tomorrow to Bharat. And so are you taking us to Bharat as well?
Well, I don't think it's
on
as exciting.
Tour?
It's not as exciting as the early days of Karachi for sure.
So I really want to thank Jinti Ben on behalf of everyone here. The class is full. So I'd like to say over 200. Wow. So thank you, Jinti Ben. I must say that since you came back from India, it's November, right? You came back in
November.
So in November, end of November, so it's December and it's January. It's 2 months. It feels like many years, right? A long, long time. So much has been
packed. Without any travel.
Yeah, so much has been packed in these two months. And yeah, nearly 3 months. And so I must say that everybody's faces here is blooming, right? The soul is sparkling, and we really feel you give us that very beautiful reminder of presence of Dadi. So I really want to thank you, Jinti Ben. You've been such a, I would say that dedicated and tirelessly, day and night, you have been working.
It's not much work, really, isn't it?
And never rest. I don't know how you manage, but yeah, today Baba answered the face and the charitra, the behavior. You know, both of that matches. So an angel, Baba gave a definition this morning. So truly, you have been a true messenger. Not only, you know, sharing Baba's Gyan so elegantly and also in such a clear way, but you've also been reflecting those qualities of Baba, and so everyone is experiencing Baba's lovely qualities through you. And so you are an angel. What angel is that? Anyone? What angel? Flying angel, not so. She's an angel, right? And so I really want to say thank you so much, Jindiben, for everything. And yes, I think London do miss you. And I had a thought when you were not here in earlier, before November, that why is it that we haven't called Jindiben on the video? Because in the past, we used to have Dadi on the video once in a while to say hi and hello. So probably this time, would you have time to do that? Maybe once in a while? Like we did with Dadi Janki, it would be nice to get an update. And also some...
The timing that it is around 12 o'clock, 12:30 in India. There's so often other things going on. Let's see. Yeah. And anyway, many of you are going to be coming to India yourselves.
Yes, thank you so much. I don't have words to thank. Is Sister Maureen here?
No.
Oh, Anybody from English class would like to come and say anything? Anyone?
I think it's okay.
Okay, I don't see Maureen Ben. I was meant to spot Maureen Ben, but she's not here.
Okay.
Thank you, Jindiben Ben. Anybody?
It's okay. Om Shanti.
Thank you.